We're going to transition to the word of the Lord, and the presence of God is not going to leave. It's going to increase as we open the scripture and let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Amen. Look to somebody and say, the presence is going to get thicker. Look to someone else and say, God is about to speak to you. That's simple faith, and it's true. Amen. Isn't this wild, you guys? I come with this sense of holy fear every time I come to this place now. I honestly can't eat lunch anymore on Sundays because I'm like nervous with this anticipation of what is the Lord going to do, because we're not just coming to Garden City. Somehow Garden City is getting overtaken by the kingdom of heaven. And I just want to say that what's starting here on Sunday nights is meant to spread, and it's going to spread, and it's going to spread to your homes and to your neighborhoods, and it's going to spread to your workplaces and your classrooms. What's God is breaking in here is meant to just be a trickle, and the Ezekiel 47 river gets wider and deeper and stronger the further away you get from the house of the Lord. And we are being discipled into a trickle on Sunday nights that's meant to become a river that brings resurrection life to dead and broken and hurting things. This is just the beginning. People have asked me, do you think this is revival or a move of the Lord? I'm like, well, it's way too premature to say anything like that. Because you don't measure a revival or a move of the Lord by what takes place on Sunday nights during worship. You measure a revival or a move of the Lord by what takes place in a city. And if we start seeing a city and neighborhoods and families and homes and hurting people's lives transformed again and again and again through all of us, that's when we could start saying things like that. But I do believe that we've entered into a Kairos moment, that there's a window that the Lord has opened for the hungry and the humble to enter into, that we would be consumed and filled with the grace of God and smeared in that holy anointing, so that we would be capable to do exploits for the name of Jesus out there and see impossibilities keep bowing their name, bowing their knees to the name of Jesus. Amen. Woo. I feel the anointing of the Lord in this place. I feel the presence of the Lord in this place. Julian spoke these words over us, I think, 3 Sundays ago. He got up under the unction of the Spirit, and he gave this word that I believe is the word of the Lord. He said, it's a time for wine and a time for harvest. Who is here for this? He said, it's a time for wine and a time for harvest. And it's time, and Riverhouse, he was speaking to us that we would be drinking laborers. Look to someone and say, it's time to drink. Look to the other person and say, and it's time to labor. I believe that God is calling us to be a community of drinking laborers. Feel free to drink. You can drink. He's here. The wine of his presence is here. It's a good spiritual discipline to drink the wine when it's being served. Woo! I don't drink alcohol. I never have. But I like to drink of the Holy Spirit. I was with a gathering of pastors in the East Coast this week, and they were sharing testimonies. Julian and Kati were there. They're sharing testimonies of what took place in our church. And they said, our favorite moment was that Jordan had to crawl to where the fragrance of the Lord was. I'm like, wow, you guys make me look kind of crazy. And they're like, I mean, the presence of the Lord was really strong. I'm like, come on, guys. These are people I don't even know. But I've learned a long time ago that when the presence of the Lord is in his house, I'm not content to let someone else have it. I'll do whatever it takes to get it myself. Because grace is like water, it flows to the lowest place, and the humble in heart will always find it. So I mean it, that if the presence of the Lord is here, drink it, receive it, be inundated, be immersed in it. Let it be a river that you can't cross. Amen? But I want to talk tonight, I want to tease out, if you will, what does it mean to be a community of drinking laborers? How do we say yes to this invitation, this divinely initiated invitation to drink the wine and enter into the labor? Because the fields are white for harvest. And the Spirit of the Lord is at work in our city, and he's just looking for co-laborers who will say yes to the invitation. And I believe it's those that have drunk deeply that will have ears to hear the whisper of the Spirit say, come and reap with me. Come and work with me. Come and labor with me to see this thing break out of the walls of the church and start to bring resurrection life to a city, to a region. I have faith, you guys. So I want to talk about three things, and I think they'll weave together to paint a picture of the drinking laborer. I want to talk about the call of the Lord, the anointing oil, and the mission of God. The call of the Lord, the anointing oil, and the mission of God. I'm going to read out of Acts 16. This is Paul. This is his second missionary journey. He just had his big fight with Barnabas, some intense fellowship. I know some married couples are familiar with that. They had an intense time of fellowship in the presence of the Lord. They needed some time away. So Paul took Silas. They're on this journey. This is verse 6 of Acts 16. It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And the next day, we went on to Neapolis. And from there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony in the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside to the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. And one of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days, and finally Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the Spirit left her. That's the word of the Lord. So let's go on a journey, the call of God, the anointing oil, and the mission of Jesus in the earth. So the call of the Lord. We see throughout Scripture that the Lord is constantly calling people. He's calling. He's calling you. Some of you are going to hear the call of the Lord tonight. Some of you are going to have Macedonian visions tonight. The Lord calls people. And we see throughout Scripture the Lord calling out to individuals, and he's asking them to deliver messages and perform acts in his name. Some of these are one-time moments, but some of these take a lifetime to fulfill. But God is calling. God is calling you. He is calling me. And he's asking us to do something in the name of Jesus. He has so designed the ecosystem of earth. He is so committed to the empowerment of mankind to be a royal priesthood that would use God-given authority to bring rulership, dominion to the earth, that he still is in cooperation with us. He partners with us. He actually needs us, not because he had to need us, but because he designed it to work to where he needs us to work in him. Heaven is his world. earth he's given to the stewardship of man. And he is so committed to it that he wouldn't violate that plan, even though it meant Jesus becoming a man and dying on a cross. That's how committed God is to your empowerment. It's your destiny. It's your calling. God is calling you to do something on the earth that has eternal purposes, eternal consequences. God is calling, right? Just to give some references, he calls Jeremiah and tells him he's gonna be a prophet that's gonna speak to nations. He's gonna give a message to the house of Israel. He calls to Moses and tells him he needs to go and speak to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. He calls to John the Baptist. He calls him a voice crying. You need to be a voice crying in the wilderness. Make ready the way of the Lord. And when the word of the Lord and the anointing comes to John, he begins preaching in the wilderness. He calls Peter to be a fisher of men. He calls Paul a chosen instrument to bear my name before Gentiles and kings. He calls Jesus. You hear Jesus express his own calling after he ministers in Capernaum. They can't find him because he's seeking the Father the next morning. He says, no, I know the people want me back there, but I need to go to other towns and villages and preach to them because this is what I was sent to do. Acts specifically, we see the Lord calling. We see the Lord calling a man, an unknown disciple named Ananias, and he comes to him and gives him a prophetic calling. He says, you need to go to a street called Straight. There's a man there named Saul. He's praying. You need to speak a message to him. What a powerful calling. The man that saved and baptized the apostle of most of the New Testament. Woo! Unnamed disciples, guys. Just like you, with ears to hear the calling of the Spirit. He calls Philip. Interesting calling. He says, go south to Gaza. And it says in parentheses, this is a desert road. You ever had a call from the Lord said, this doesn't make sense? Why are you calling me to the middle of the desert? As he gets to the desert, he sees a chariot and he hears the call again, go next to that chariot. And he hears a man reading the prophet Isaiah. He knows he's called to preach the gospel. He leads an Ethiopian eunuch who was a ruler in the court of the queen. Ethiopia to this day has one of the strongest Christian heritages of all of the continent of Africa, and people trace it back to one calling to a man named Philip to go to a desert road. Woo, somebody. God's calling. We see in Acts 10, God calls Peter and says, men are coming to you. Go with them without misgivings. He goes with them and he gets to Cornelius's house. He says, an angel of the Lord sent us and said that you have a message to speak. He begins speaking the message. The Spirit falls and the Gentiles come into the faith. And again, last we see this Macedonian vision. In the dream of a night, a man comes to Paul, says, come and help us. Come and serve us. It says they immediately concluded that God had called us to go and preach the gospel to them. God is calling. Many are called, but few are chosen. You ever read that verse? He said, I hope I'm called. You are. You are. I read that verse. It's kind of like if you have a 5 a.m. flight, you don't want to pay for the Uber. You got to call your friends. Hey, can you take me to the airport on Friday? Yeah, what time? 3:20? Oh, sorry. You know who your real friend is, the one who says like, yeah, I'll take you, right? Many are called, few are chosen. God's calling, the chosen are the ones that say, yeah, I'll take you. We get all scared sometimes, like, am I called? No, you're called. You know how I know with 100% faith that you have a powerful calling? Because I look at the world and it's so messed up and broken, and we're the answer. And we get so church-centric with our calling sometimes. We're like, but there's only so many callings in the church because it's meant to be that way, because a move of God's meant to change the world. So you may never express huge leadership within the walls of the church. Praise God. That means your calling's out there. You don't want the call of man. You want the call of God. And you're called. He's calling. So the calling of the Lord. Then we see the anointing of the Lord. Jesus has this interesting conversation with his disciples. He says, who do people say that I am? They give a list of names, mostly of prophets. Some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, some say so-and-so, some say a prophet of old. But he looks at him and says, who do you say I am? Peter says, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. Peter says, good job, Peter. This is the revelation, the rock that I'm going to build my church upon. Yes, Peter was the rock, but I think it's deeper. It's a revelation, and the revelation that Peter got is that Jesus was the anointed one. Say anointed one. Peter gets it right. He actually sees and beholds and recognizes the divinity of Jesus because of the anointing that rested upon him. Now keep in mind, Jesus was a man just like us. He did not play his God card. He emptied his divinity, Philippians 2. Though he was divine, he didn't act divine. He walked as a man while in his earthly ministry. And Peter's saying, though you're walking as a man, the Spirit of God that came upon you at your baptism, the anointing actually revealed Jesus as the Son of God. Peter gets a revelation of the anointing and the anointed one. Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father. Yes? The anointing. Peter sees the anointing. He recognizes the anointing of God was resting. John the Baptist was instructed to look for the one on whom the Spirit would fall and remain. Jesus is the Christ. Paul's language throughout, read his epistles. The Christ, the Christ, the Christ, the Christ. He is the anointed one. And the Spirit of God came and anointed Jesus' flesh in such a way that he revealed God to the world. He is God. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Right? But in the same way, this is the rock that reveals the church. We are Christians, which was a derogative term. It was like making fun of us, like, oh, you're like little Christ. But though it's derogative, it's quite prophetic. We're little anointed ones. And as Jesus is anointed, it says, Romans 8:14, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. There's something of the anointing upon us that reveals our identity as sons and daughters to the world. Just as Jesus walked in the anointing, we are to walk in the anointing. Jesus is the begotten of the Father. We are the adopted of the Father, but the same principle applies. We are meant to live and walk in the anointing oil of God, that the Spirit would come upon our flesh in such a way that we would actually reveal God to the world. This is the principle of John 15. Jesus, all throughout the Gospel of John, he's showing us, I'm not doing anything of my own accord. I do what the Father does. It's Jesus revealing, I'm dependent upon the Father. Through my dependence upon the Father, he sends the Spirit upon me, and the Spirit through me does the works of the Father that reveal the Father. Then he says in John 15, now I'm the heavenly vine, you're the earthly branches. As you depend upon me, I will send the Spirit, the life force through you, and you'll bear fruits that reveal me to the world. Just as Jesus revealed the Father, the church is meant to reveal the Christ. There, you're getting it. Peter gets the revelation of the anointing. We need a revelation of the anointing. I think sometimes we get like, oh, how could we ever do gospel Acts type Christianity? I'll tell you how. The anointing. You need the anointing. You need the Spirit of God upon you. Read the book of Judges. This is old covenant. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, came upon Samson, came upon David, came upon Saul. As the anointing came upon those not new creation in Christ, but old covenant, old creation, the anointing empowered them to do exploits for the name of the Lord. And now we, a new creation in Christ, adopted into sonship with a royal identity, called Christians, meant to be little anointed ones, living in direct relationship with the anointed one himself. Woo, when the Spirit comes upon us, things happen that aren't possible otherwise. Like spine surgery, necks getting healed from a simple request, look for healing. Woo, somebody. We need the anointing. We need that holy anointing oil upon our lives. See, this is, get her, God. Get her, God. She's hungry for the anointing. Right? So the anointing, right? The anointing is what empowers us and enables us to do that which God has called us to do. God calls us to do things that seem beyond what we think we can do, because it is. Because he's not asking us to do our work, he's asking us to do his work. And his joy is, he said, go and do what you aren't capable of doing. I'll give you the anointing as you obey, and you'll do my work, and Father gets super happy. He's like, woohoo, there's my sons. There's my daughters. It says creation is groaning for the revelation of the sons and daughters of God. God is longing for us to step back into our identity where we will walk with him, talk with him, and do the works like him. John 14, greater works than these you will do. Some of us read that like, no way, I can't do that. No, you can't. But with the anointing. So the anointing is what empowers us, right? The Spirit of the Lord comes upon us, and it empowers us to do what we can't do in ourselves, right? Even the things we talk about around here, ministry to the Lord. We need the anointing to minister to the Lord. Oh, what do you mean? How can we really go before the throne of heaven and join the songs of the angels? I don't know in my flesh, but when that anointing comes upon me, it's as if I'm before the throne of heaven, because I am. Because the Spirit comes upon my flesh, and heaven and earth come together in a way that's beyond my mind's ability to comprehend. Think, this is Jesus. Peter's like, you are the anointed one. By the exceedingly great promises of God, this is 1 Peter, we've become partakers of the divine nature. When we are in connection with the Spirit, we so enter into union with him. We do not become divine, by the way. Let's make it very clear. We are weak jars of clay. We are weak fleshly vessels. And I just mean fleshly in the sense of skin and bone. We are not eternal. We are small. We are temporal. But the Spirit of God can rest on us. And Jesus shed his blood to make us clean, that we would not just be where the Spirit can rest on us, but where the Spirit can live in us, and we can become an abiding place, a temple of the living God. Woo! He is in you for your sake, but he comes upon you for the sake of other people. We need anointing to minister the Lord. We need the anointing to love one another. And some people more anointing than others. You all know what I'm talking about. Right, but when the Spirit comes upon us, right, which is why the life rhythm of first love, first priority, intimacy with the Lord, lifestyle intimacy is what allows us to love the unlovable. And the New Testament goes so far to say that you need to love your enemies. And that doesn't just mean every once in a while you bless them in your quiet time. And some of you don't even go that far. Some of your blessing is like, God, kill them. But Jesus says, love your enemies. He doesn't just say it, he lives it. Right? Because when you're anointed by the Holy Spirit, you're anointed by love. You're anointed by the Spirit of God that the very Spirit that empowered Jesus to go to the cross for the joy set before him. Right, we need the anointing to minister to one another. We can't just minister to one another because we're really nice people. We need the Spirit. Because when the Spirit comes upon us, it's like the best of us gets unlocked. And we're learning how to live in the Holy Spirit. We need anointing to ministry to the world, to minister to the world. We do. Some of you know this. Your workplaces, They're hard, they're challenging, they're full of anxiety. They're secularized. We are in an increasingly secularized climate, and secularization is actually putting more and more and more barriers from the natural flow of gospel type activity. Right? How many of you, it would be extremely awkward to pray publicly at your work? How many of you would feel very uncomfortable? Some of you would even be afraid of losing your job if you did something Christian-like at work, yeah? Right, this is going to increase, by the way. And I would like to just submit to you that this is not actually a barrier to the kingdom. I actually think it helps. Because God doesn't want Christianese speakers. He wants anointed ambassadors of the resurrection of Jesus. Woo! Oh, wow. I'm preaching good tonight. Right, so we need the anointing. We step into the anointing as we follow. Say follow. As we follow the Holy Spirit, we step into the anointing because the anointing comes upon us for the sake of the call. He does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He doesn't call the anointed. He anoints the called. The anointing's for the call because God is calling, saying, I've given stewardship of the earth to these image bearers that I love, and so I want to partner with you to do this thing, and so I'm going to call you, and I'm going to anoint you. We always don't get the luxury of like feeling anointed, so then we say yes to the call. We say yes to the call and step into the anointing. How did Peter know he had the anointing to walk on water? That was anointing, by the way. Can't do that by yourself. In case any of you have tried. I did try. I was at the Sea of Galilee. I tried quite a few times. Whoop, whoop. No anointing because there was no call. This is a funny story. Riley and I were in Israel, and our church thought it would be fun to do an announcement like with an Israel scene in the background, and they were gonna like superimpose our pastor on it. So they're like, could you just do a 2-minute still shot of like somewhere in the Galilee? And so we just did a picture of the water. And then they're like, that doesn't work. Like, we need to look like he's standing. We're like, on the Sea of Galilee. They were like, yeah, could you just do like a something else? Anyways, I just thought of that. That was free. All right, we step into the anointing as we follow the Spirit. Jesus, this is Acts 10:38, Peter speaking, says, he was anointed by God and he went about doing good. Say doing good. This is what doing good is. Healing those oppressed by the devil. What's the anointing for? Doing good. What is doing good? It's doing the works of the kingdom. It's bringing peace, joy, righteousness, healing, transformation, deliverance. Just read the book of Acts. You'll get a whole list of doing good. Jesus was anointed by the Spirit to do good. All right, so let's look at Peter and Paul just in the book of Acts. Acts 10, Peter is in prayer. Say in prayer. He's in prayer because how do you cultivate a life of anointing? In prayer. Because our first ministry is to the Lord. And the Spirit actually anoints us as we come to him to seek the Lord. He anoints our quiet time. Anybody had a horrible quiet time before? Probably wasn't anointed. Ask for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we get so rigid with our quiet times that they actually lose anointing because we're following our formula. We're not following the Spirit. Took me years to learn this one. Sometimes the Lord kicks me out of my quiet time. She says, that's not what I'm doing today. I know you like your cup of coffee. And this morning, he kicked me out of my quiet time. I was complaining to him because Naomi was crying like 6 a.m. Wah, wah, mama, mama. And I said, Lord, I love my child, but not right now. I said, I'm just sipping my latte. I'm a half hour into my quiet time. I really need good anointing for tonight's message. Like I'm serious. This is real. I'm making it fun. This is real. And all of a sudden the Lord, after like I let her cry for like 45 minutes. But I asked Jackie. I can't break the code, mom code. She knows things I don't. She's like, let her cry. After 45 minutes, she's like, it's still too early. You should go and hold her. So I go in there, I get her, I'm holding her. And I find myself like, okay, how fast can I, she falls asleep. I'm like, how fast can I get her back without waking her up? You know what I mean? Every dad's been there. I'm like, okay, okay. I'm like looking at her eyes. And all of a sudden the Lord was like, stop. He was like, just pray. Forget about the sermon. He's like, worship me as you're holding your girl right now. And honestly, I had to lay down my agenda for my quiet time that I woke up at 5:15 for. Because it's not about my formula, it's about the Spirit. Sometimes we say, oh, well, how can I be a husband and a good, you know, boss or employee or leader and a lover of Jesus and still have all that? Well, you have to listen to the Spirit. Because our little boxes don't work sometimes. You got to listen to the Spirit. Where is he leading? Where is he orchestrating? You say yes to what he says yes to, right? So anyways, Peter is in prayer. That was a super long caveat. He's in prayer. He enters into the anointing. How do we know? Because as he's in prayer, even though he's hungry, he has this trance. The Spirit comes on him, right? So anointing brings heaven to earth. All of a sudden, he has this encounter. He sees this sheet, hears this voice, says these men are coming. We know the story. So he's in the Spirit. He's in the anointing. The Spirit comes upon him. The Spirit speaks to him, go. So he follows the Spirit. Say, follows the Spirit. It's like a day or two later, he gets to Cornelius' house. So he's obeying the Spirit. He's just been called by the Lord, go with these people. And it's actually an uncomfortable call. For us, it's not so much, but for him, it would have been extremely uncomfortable. It would have been God asking him to do something that he thought was literally wrong his entire life. So he follows the Spirit because he was in the Spirit and he heard the voice of the Spirit. He follows the Spirit. Sometimes the Spirit asks you to do things that violate your own principles of what you think you should do. And you have to have the sensitivity to hear the Spirit. Some of you are in workplaces where it says, you know, you're not allowed. There's laws. You can't pray. You can't do this. But if the Spirit says pray, guess what you need to do? Pray, because our ultimate submission is to Jesus as Lord. We obey earthly authorities unless they violate the voice of the Spirit. We need to be people that are led by the Spirit. You got to listen to the Spirit to be led by the Spirit to be a son of God. Woo! Right? So Peter listens to the Spirit. He violates his principle. He steps in. He starts speaking. He gives this sermon as he is speaking. Say speaking. This is not five songs into worship. It is as he is speaking to a group of heathens, Romans. He hadn't even finished his sermon. Spirit boom, falls on him. Do you know what that tells me? He was anointed. He's dripping in holy oil, so much so that it flows out of him and gets on all this group of people. They start speaking in tongues. All these things start happening. That's the anointing. Right, Paul just gets in a big fight with his buddy, probably not too anointed. Goes on a trip with Silas, gets his new buddy, they're on a trip. They're forbidden two times. No, don't go here. No, don't go here. Right, how do you walk in the anointing? You listen to the Spirit. Do you know how many times we walk through doors that the Lord's not opening for us? Well, how do you know if it's the door of the Lord or not? You're in relationship with the Lord. We don't follow opportunity as believers. We follow peace. We follow the Spirit. That's the key to the anointing. So no, no. Then he has a dream. And in the dream, come help us. And they knew the Spirit was telling them to go. So he goes. They obey. Say obey. They follow the Spirit. They go to a city called Philippi. They are there for a few days, and it says they go to a place of prayer. They go to the place of prayer. They start speaking. As they start speaking, suddenly this rich woman, that's why the Bible's telling us she was a seller of purple fabrics. Purple is royalty. Those are like expensive fabrics. This is a wealthy woman that the Spirit of the Lord was already at work in her heart. Her heart opens to the speaking of Paul so much so that she and her whole household gets baptized. You know what that tells me? Paul's in the anointing. Few days later, this is the anointing, you guys. This slave girl, right, which we kind of like get bad on her, but I actually read this as this slave girl is actually crying out for help. Why else would a voice say, these are men, servants of the Most High God that are proclaiming the way of salvation. Right? This is a slave girl. She's being exploited by rulers. This is a dark little situation here. Paul gets so annoyed, and sometimes, you know, it's interesting, who is he annoyed at? He probably knows he's going to get in trouble if he does this, and he does if you read the rest of the text. He could be annoyed at the whole situation. He could be annoyed at the injustice. We don't know. But what we do know is he gets so annoyed, he looks and he says, "Get out in Jesus' name." Ah, boom, gone. We've seen some of that, yeah? Woo, praise the Lord. What does that tell you? You say a simple phrase and the demons flee. Come on, he's in the anointing, you guys. He's in the anointing. Right, John 1:2 says that we have all, say all, we have all received the anointing from God. Sometimes we think, oh, the Lord's anointed, the Lord's anointed. Pastor Jordan is the Lord's anointed. I am, but so are you. Old covenant paradigm is the Lord's anointed. No, we are all anointed. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. 1 John 2:20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. You have an anointing. I'm writing these things to you, this is verse 26, about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you. Say remains. It remains in you, and you don't need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, just as it is taught you, remain in him. Right, this is the thing about the anointing, the life of walking in anointing. Nobody can do it for you. It's kind of like worship. Nobody can worship for you. I can't worship for you. It does not matter how amazing and angelic my voice is. I cannot worship for you. I cannot put a hallelujah on your lips, and mine won't do it for you. It's like it's you or it's nothing. All right, that's the greatest worship instrument in the church, don't forget, is your tongue. And nobody can bring a hallelujah for you. And yesterday's hallelujah is not the same as today's hallelujah. There's a new hallelujah every day, and only you can bring it. Great, every morning, his mercies are new. And I want my hallelujahs to be new as well. But nobody can worship for you. It's the same with the anointing. Nobody can walk in your anointing for you. It's a you thing. And I equate the learning to walk in the anointing. It's kind of like how eagles learn how to fly. You know how they learn how to fly? Just kind of throw them out. You're gonna hate me. You just throw them out. That's what the mom eagle does. It just takes a little baby one day and says, "You can fly, you have an anointing," and just throws the eagle out of the nest. Now, mom hovers, and as the baby's close to dying, she saves him. But that's how an eagle learns how to fly. This is how you learn how to walk in the anointing. You spell faith, R-I-S-K. You risk your way into confidence in the anointing. And it's a strange confidence because it's actually the humiliation of yourself because you lose your reputation, but it's a confidence in who God is in you. So it's a very strange paradox, but as you obey the promptings of the Spirit, you will fall on your face quite a few times. But don't worry, the scriptures say that he takes you by the hand so that when you fall, you won't be cast headlong. Which is a way of saying you won't smack your face too violently. It'll be kind of a soft scuffle. And then he'll pick you back up and pat you on the butt and say, "You got it next time, kid." This is how we learn to walk in the anointing. Do you know how many times I have fallen on my face? I don't have enough time to tell you enough stories, but I have great stories that would make me look like an idiot. Sometimes I leave here and I'm like beating myself on the way home, like, "Oh my gosh, that was horrible. I risked and nothing happened." That's the path. That's how you do it. You follow in faith and you actually fail your way forward. If we just want to stay in the nest, you'll be safe. You'll stay in the nest. But if you want to learn how to fly, you got to get out and try. Right? You can't. Nobody can do your anointing. Nobody can walk your anointing out. You have a unique anointing from the Lord that will operate uniquely, and it will activate as you step out in faith to the call of the Lord. This is simple, but it is challenging. But the Lord's here. He's anointing. He's anointing. Right? The one thing I will say, you can't, nobody can do it for you, but what you can do, if you want a cheat code, this is the only cheat code, get close to people that are anointed. You just have to get near anointing. Anointing has a way of being contagious and it will spill. As I watch other people minister in the anointing, it's instructing me how to do the same thing. Right? So if you want anointing, get close to anointing. I've had so many people like lay hands on me, anointed people. Like I had this one time, do you guys know Randy Clark? Randy Clark's doing this conference and it was like not at a charismatic church. So typically he does these huge impartations at the end. Everybody's like, you know, wants to get hands. They want the anointing. People are hungry for the anointing. It was like a conservative church. So not a lot of people were getting prayer. So I like went up and I'm like standing like he's here and I'm standing like here, but he's in a conversation with somebody that he like knew. And this is like for like 15 minutes. And I think this guy was going through a crisis or something. So they're having like a personal conversation. I didn't feel good about like, hey, I'm hungry. Can you bless me? And I was like, I'll wait for the conversation. As the conversation's going, it's like the lights are starting to dim. They're like closing down shop and they're like, all right, everybody needs to leave. And I'm like, oh shoot, I got to do the like touch the hem of his garment type thing. So I'm like, so he's like in this conversation, I'm like around the guy. I'm not joking. And then like, right as I got close, I got nervous. So I just like closed my eyes. And right as I did this, he stepped backwards and I just touched his butt. My mom was there. I'm like, I just touched his butt. But I went away blessed. Woo! Drink the wine. It's time to drink the wine. The hungry get filled. And when you're hungry, you just don't really care. When you're hungry, your reputation just doesn't matter that much. When you're hungry for the anointing, you'll do what you need to do and you'll go where you need to go. Sometimes people say, you're so courageous, Jordan. I feel like you do anything the Lord told you. I say, yeah, it's not really courage. I feel weird sometimes too. The Lord says, dance. I'm like, I don't really know if I feel like dancing right now. I'm not really a dancer. Like, I have all the same things. You know what I am? I'm hungry. That's what I am. That's why I'll do. It's because I am hungry for the anointing of the Spirit of God because I don't have much to offer without it. So if you get close to the anointed by the Lord, you'll become anointed yourself. It'll activate you. That's your one cheat code. All right, so it's our walking in the anointing that reveals Christ to the world. And yeah, we're anointed to do it. So one last thing, and then we'll go into the mission of God, if you look at the old covenant priesthood, they were anointed with the oil. It was a consecration. The anointing came upon them. They were holy in this moment. And their first ministry, and this is what we minister to the Lord, minister to one another, minister to the world. Their first ministry, they turned their back on the people and they walked into the tabernacle to actually minister and fulfill their ministry to the Lord. So the first call is to be with Jesus. Don't miss this. Great commandment. First call. Be with Jesus, minister the Lord, right? So as you turn your back on the people, you minister the Lord, you wake up early, you seek the face of God, you prioritize his presence, right? You actually are coming with unveiled face, you're beholding the glory of the Lord. But then what the priests were to do is after they fulfilled their ministry to the Lord, they then would turn to face the people and they were to pronounce blessing upon the people. They were to do sacrifices and then pronounce blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. And they were to embody that shining face. Moses' face shone because he had seen the glory of the Lord, meaning that what we receive as we fulfill our ministry to the Lord is meant to be imparted and given away to the people on the backside. It's we have to see the full ecosystem. And if we miss our ministry to one another and our ministry to the world and we stay here, we fall in danger of becoming like the sons of Eli, who the sons of Eli, amongst many of the sins they did, is that they would receive the sacrifice from the people, and instead of fulfilling their ministry to the people, they would eat the fat of the sacrifices. And that fat, like Isaiah 10:27, where it says the anointing breaks the yoke, it's literally the fat breaks the yoke. It's the fat of the oxen. As the ox would grow big and strong, it would break the yoke. And it's that same fat, they're eating the fat, meaning that we could actually become fat off the anointing if we are not ministering to the Lord, but then with glowing faces going and giving the anointing away, because the anointing comes upon us for the sake of ministering to other people. The Spirit is in us for our sake, but it's on us for other people. We have to fulfill the entirety of our priestly vocation, which is to represent creation to God, but it's to represent God to creation. And God to creation, He is the Father of lights who gives without variation or shifting shadow. And we owe the world an encounter with that God. So let me now segue into the mission of God. I'll start with this. So two Sundays ago, I woke up, I had a dream. This doesn't happen often, but I had a very specific dream. In the dream, I'm in Boise. I'm at a workplace in Boise. I see an individual that I don't know and I've never met. I know what they look like. I know details of their life. I have a message from the Lord for them. Like, it was so specific. I tell Jackie, she looks at me, she goes, "That's crazy. I saw a person at that very place that looked just like that 2 weeks ago." And I said, "Wow, that gives me courage." So in my mind, I'm like, I think this might be a word of knowledge to release at church. Like, what else do I do with it? So I come to church 2 weeks ago. You know, we're ministering in the presence. The presence is so strong. And I asked the Lord, I said, "God, am I supposed to release this as a word of knowledge?" And the Lord, well, I didn't say this. I should probably say this. In the dream, Jackie was with me. And I looked at her and I said, "I don't want to be here. This place has a dark demonic presence." And my wife looked at me. And if you know my wife, this is probably true, you know, real. Like, you, this is easy to imagine. She looked at me and rebuked me. She said, "Jordan," she said, "we need to be where demonized people are." So anyways, so I'm back at church 2 weeks later, or that day at church, I'm sitting right there. And I said, "Lord, do I need to go up and release this as a word of knowledge? Is this for a person? Do I need to share that?" And the Lord rebuked me. He said, "No, she's not here." He said, "I showed you where she works. Go." So I went. I went on Monday morning. It was a beautiful encounter. I had my daughter in my hands. So I said, "Hey, I had a dream about you." My wife was right there, so it doesn't make me a weirdo. You got to have EQ. You know what I'm talking about? Don't just go in, "Hold on, I had a dream about you." It's like, woo! Okay. But it was beautiful. It was powerful. And I started meditating on it. I felt the Lord start speaking to me. Started saying, it's not all in here. It's out there. Like, I'm at work. I started pondering this. Because I experienced the anointing. I got a testimony later that it was anointed. That it was the Lord. And it wasn't an individual that was going to be at church. But it was as if I was supposed to transport what I received at church there. Right? We have been experiencing the glory of God. Yeah? Who experienced God's glory in the last month within this house in a way that you never have before? I'll put my hand in there as well. And if you haven't, I pray God gets you real soon. Right? But the glory of God has come and it is meant to disrupt. It has disrupted and it's meant to. And I think it's meant to do a number of things. I think it's meant to wake us up to the beauty and the nearness of heaven. And the beauty and the nearness of Jesus. There's something that I don't know if I've ever experienced, just the proximity. It's like the kingdom of God is at hand. Right, so I think it was supposed to wake us up to the nearness of God, the nearness of the kingdom, and to the counter, to the reality of how horrible hell is. To how horrible the conditions of some people's lives are. That some people are living in a way that they have never tasted what we have tasted. Right, there was... amongst the signs that took place, as I have pondered, I see this dichotomy. There was, perhaps most impactful to me, was this fragrance, which has continued to show up. You know, I think hundreds of people have smelt this fragrance. It showed up at staff meetings. It showed up at School of Ministry. There's just been this fragrance. Every Sunday since, I've talked to people. Last Sunday, I personally was smelling the fragrance of the Lord. There's something of this fragrance, as if we can actually smell the presence of God. And it was so potent on that weekend, and it was glorious. And then there was these manifestations around gold, golden flecks, golden teeth. I don't understand other than I think we get fascinated with gold, but God's like, that's asphalt in the kingdom of heaven. And I think, honestly, I think he's trying to open our eyes to how glorious he is. It's almost like he's flexing a little bit. Like you guys don't get it. Like, we read the Bible, but I'm like, wow, heaven is way more glorious than I realized. You know, there's oil on people's hands. So it's this fragrant, royal, aromatic, like, beauty of the kingdom of heaven where we can just linger in Jesus's presence forever. Yes? My gosh, who wants more of that? I long for more of that. I'm like, coming to church like, and I think that's faith. Like, I want to be intoxicated by Jesus. It's not dependent upon my faithfulness. It's not going to change how I worship and how I show up, but am I hungry for it? You bet. I'm homesick. I want more of him. I look at this as just an invitation. I'm like, how much more great are you? Right? So there's these manifestations of glory, the glory of heaven. Then we have this manifestation, you know, people are smelling, burning, but specifically Pastor Robin's hands, they're covered in this dark ash and people are seeing smoke come up. I'm an eyewitness of this, so I won't just say people, I'll say myself. If you're listening on live stream, I know it's crazy, but God is a God of signs and wonders. I'm not trying to explain it. I'm trying to testify to what my eyes have seen. Hands covered in ash, smoke coming forth, and then two separate people that were not talking both came and shared a word and said, I believe this is something of evangelistic anointing to grasp people out of the fires of hell. I share this because I don't believe that that was a personal manifestation. I believe that's a corporate sign. I believe God is giving us corporate signs, and signs are things we're supposed to meditate upon that would create wonder so that the Lord could speak to us and we could obey the signs. So we see signs of the glory of heaven, and we see signs of the Lord's heart to catch people out of the brokenness and the darkness, out of the enemy's plots, out of the enemy's schemes to kill, steal, and destroy. So you see, there's this dichotomy of glory, the drinking and the laboring, if you will. So I want to just talk for a moment about the mission of God, right? And I want to start by asking, I want to pose this question. If we have tasted of the heavenly glory, the very nearness and beauty of Jesus, if we say we have found the pearl of great price and keep it to ourselves, what does that say about us? It's unacceptable. There's something about manifestation. When God manifests the fence, the fence gets destroyed. You have to choose. Are you hot or are you cold? Are you all in or are you not? And when you see manifest glory and presence, you just know. When I drink this deep, you just know this is more than just for me. I'm not meant to just grow fat on this. It's meant to be given away. Drinking laborers. It's a time for wine, and it's a time for harvest. It's a time to enjoy the glory of God and drink as deeply as we possibly can. I just want to exhort you quickly. It is a time for wine, River House. It is a time to drink and drink and drink and drink, perhaps in a way you've never drunk. Drink deeper than you've drunk. Find that you have more capacity to receive the very presence and the empowerment of the Spirit of God in a way that you haven't known. It is a time to let yourself become inebriated by his presence, to let your reputation be put aside and on the altar so that God can have his way and be your all in all. To live as Christ and to die as gain. Give me all that you have, God. Possess me with your spirit. It's a time to drink. Right? But it is a time to labor. Right, and when you look at a kingdom missiology, this is what this is what the biblical story would disciple us into. It's this idea is that we are not the pioneers of mission. He's already at work. Jesus says, my Father's already at work and I'm joining him. I have food that you don't know about. God is working. This is what I want to say to you all. God is at work in your life right now. God is at work in our city, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces. Wherever you are, God has already beat you to the punch. He is already at work. He is already preparing the hearts of Lydia. He is already at work in Cornelius. He is already at work with Ethiopian eunuchs. He's just looking for people that will extend the sickle for the harvest. And what that extending of the sickle is, it's listening to the call of the Spirit and stepping out that the anointing of God can come upon you and you can give an anointed word that will reveal the Christ to them. Woo! He's waiting. He's working. He's laboring. I was in Boston this week, the liberal, intellectual Boston. I'm walking on Newberry Street. Has anybody been there? This is like Rodeo Drive, but East Coast, proper, bougie. And I'm walking into these bougie stores. We had a couple hours. We were at a pastor's gathering, had a couple hours. And there's this store called Richard Mille. Anybody heard of it? $1 million watches. The reason I know about it is because Rafael Nadal plays tennis with a Richard Mille that cost over $1 million. They're made, they're so light that you can put them on top of water and they won't sink. They weigh less than a credit card. It's crazy. So cool. I'll never own one. Actually, never mind. I'm joking. So I just want to walk in and see if I can see a watch. I walk in, there's no watches. They're like, we just have iPads that display pictures of the watches because we only made 5,000 of them all of last year. I'm like, oh, wow. But I had just come from this pastor's gathering, and I forgot to put my Bible back in the room. So I'm walking around with my Bible in my hand. Kind of felt self-conscious. The guy's like, what are you here for? We're here for a conference. He's like, for work or play? For work. What do you do for work? And I'm like holding my Bible. I'm like, okay, this is awkward. I'm going for it. Liberal Boston, bougie, Richard Mille. I'm like, I'm a pastor. I'm in ministry. And the guy's like, no way. He's like, I've been reading my Bible. I'm like, what? He's like, I just finished the book of Mark. Jackie's like, are you a Christian? He's like, no. She's like, do you go to church? He's like, no. He's like, but a year ago, I just started feeling like I needed to read the Christian scriptures. We start prophesying over him. He's like, wow. Wow, wow, the whole time the other worker in the store is like standing 10 feet away, not saying anything. The anointing's on me, and I go, and the Lord wants you to know, as soon as I start speaking, hardly even said a word, she just starts crying. Jackie literally goes, starts holding this girl, ministering to this girl. We end up, we're doing a conference there later this year, and we're like, we're gonna be back. They're like, we'd love to come. Can you give me your number? This is the bougie boutique. He's like, can you sign it? He's like, I don't even know what to do. He's like, sign this paper. He gives me this whole like client form. I just put my number. He texts me the next day. Thank you so much for what you said. He said, I believe in the work you're doing. I'd love to talk with you again. Right? Like I share this testimony. Honestly, I share this testimony also as a confession. I haven't had enough of these testimonies. I have a lot of these testimonies from years ago. But I've been in the house, and I think it's where the Lord's had me, pioneering a house of glory. But the Lord met me this week. He said, my glory's here. He said, I need you to go. And so I'm sharing this as a testimony, as an invitation that God is at work in our city, and there's people reading the book of Mark that are just waiting for you to come and give the word and sow the story and be a presence of love. That's a good word, right? It's a time to drink, but it's also a time to labor. I know we got to go get the kids, and I'm going to close like this, and we're going to have a prayer. I believe the anointing's going to come. It's going to touch people. He's going to fill us with the power of God tonight in a new way. But I just want to say this. If you read Matthew 20, it's the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. Have you read this? Labor is about work. Say work. Sometimes we act like, well, you know, I just minister to the Lord and I'm intimate with Jesus, and then the fruit just happens by consequence. No, it happens if you obey the call. Your intimacy with the Lord will position you to hear the call. The fruitfulness will only be there if you work. You read, this is a parable of the kingdom, and it's the upset people who went early in the morning because they say, we bore the burden and the heat of the day. This is not some like super just walking on clouds and just save you, heal you. It's like, it's not like Mr. Bean mission. This is gonna cost you something. This is going to be labor. This might cost you discomfort. This might cost you your reputation. This might mean you have to do things that look a little different. This might mean you have to do things that are uncomfortable. This is going to require something. Right? But it's things that cost something that mean the most. But guys, at the end of the day, it doesn't cost you anything compared to this cross. The least we can do is, okay, I'll pray for the person. I'll say yes. I'll step out. We want to be good laborers in the vineyard, yeah? Right? Many are called, few are chosen. God is calling, and the question is, will you pick up the phone? Will you say yes? I'll leave you with this. How can they hear unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Right? We want to be like Paul. We want to be like Peter. Ears to hear and a heart to obey. That we would hear the Macedonian call and we would step into it. And we would open our mouths in the name of Jesus. And we would create opportunities for the anointing of the Lord to come upon us and do and reveal the Christ. It's our call, you guys. It's how this river flows out of this house and it starts changing things. You are anointed by God. And Ephesians 2 says that he is preparing good works in advance for you to walk in them. Say that. God's preparing works for me. God's preparing Lydia's for me. Lydia's waiting for me. Right? She is waiting to hear the gospel and she won't hear it unless someone comes and speaks the anointed word. God is sending. He's calling. God is calling. God is calling you. Come on. This is good news. This is not a rebuke. This may be correction, but this is a loving invitation for you to step into your destiny. And it looks like something today. God is not waiting until you're spiritually formed and perfectly sanctified. He's waiting for you to be willing and obey, and he will do exploits through you just like he's done exploits through me. God wants to heal the sick, raise the dead, prophesy hope. See, just be conduits of the coming kingdom, amen? But here's the deal. We need the anointing, right? I believe that we are being filled by God. It's as if he is corporately bringing us to the gas station and we're full. I don't think that we can go into deeper glory unless we start putting our foot on the gas and coming here with an empty tank each week. And you know what I mean. I'm not saying empty soul, burnout like that. I'm saying that of the anointing that we're receiving, it's like, I'm going to receive this and then boom, baby. And I think we're going to be surprised what starts coming out of the engine under this hood, because I don't even think we've begun to realize how much God's put inside of us. We have encountered and beheld the resurrected Lord, and we're doing it week after week after week. And this is what I just want to say. People are hungering for what you have. People are groaning. They are waiting. They're at the edge of their seat. God is at work. So Lord, send the laborers. Send anointed lovers, laborers. Drink drinking laborers. Make us drinking laborers. Amen. I want to invite everybody to stand up. I'm just going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come. I believe that as I pray, the anointing is going to begin to come upon some of you, even right now. So I want you to open up your hands. Even before I pray, I want you to tell the Lord what you want. If you are hungry for the anointing, I just want you to put it on your mouth. Put it on your mouth. If we can get someone to play the keys, that would be great. But pray. Pray out loud. You know, like I think of that man who was blind. And he's crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Just express your hunger. If you're hungry, if you want more of his spirit, if you want God to clothe you with power and the anointing like he anointed Jesus, just tell him what you want. Yeah, gifts of the Spirit. It is biblical to ask for gifts of the Spirit. Lord, we thank you. It is a time for wine and a time for harvest. And you are raising up a company of drinking laborers. God, those who have ears to hear the call. Lord, and those that have the faith to step into the anointing. And so, God, I ask right now for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to be poured out upon this house. Lord, I ask that you will release the oil from heaven, that you release the wine of the Holy Spirit right now. Fall, 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 fall. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, anointing oil, anointing hands. He's anointing hands. I see him anointing ears. I see him pouring oil. I see him anointing eyes. I see anointing oil pouring down faces. If you are start to experience the manifest presence, when it's actually tangibly starting to rest on you, I want you to come forward. If you're experiencing the manifest presence of the Holy Ghost right now, we just say, God, come with more. Come with more. Come with more. Come with more. I just want to invite you to lean in, church. That you would lean in for what you hunger for. That you would lean your heart. You would just press in. You would ask. We're instructed to ask for the Holy Spirit. And we just say, more, God, more. Manifest your presence. Manifest your weighty presence, your weighty glory. God, will you release anointing? Release and activate anointing right now. I thank you that anointing is being activated right now, right now, right now. Lord, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, for an evangelistic grace right now that you are raising, you're releasing evangelists right now, right now. God, we thank you, Lord, for this corporate sign, Lord, of hands charred from the fire, reaching in, Lord. And we just say, do it again, God. Would you touch our hands? Would you touch our hearts? Would you give us the zeal of the Lord for the lost? I just thank you, Lord, that it is time to seek and save the lost. We thank you that today is the day of salvation, that this is a time for harvest. This is a time for reaping. We look on the fields and see that they are white for harvest. And we say, God, anoint, 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 anoint. I had a sense earlier today that the Lord was going to release Macedonian visions into this church tonight. Lord, I thank you that you're releasing Macedonian calls. Lord, visions, divine oracles. You're speaking, you're calling. He's 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 molding hearts. He's calling. He's calling. He's opening eyes to see what's been hiding in plain sight, to see where he's been working right in front of your eyes. But you've been blind to it. Your eyes have been blinded by self, and some of you, your eyes are opening to the people, to the Lydias, the Cornelius, the Ethiopian eunuchs. Some of you being, it's like fire. It's like holy fire. It's the heart of God. Fire. Fire. It's fire. Some of you, it's an old call, but it's a new call. It's a fresh fire on an old call. Oh, there it is, anointing. There it is, anointing oil. Thank you. I see faith rising right now. Faith for miracles. Faith for hearts that are open to the gospel. Faith. Oh, I see it. I see it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There it is. Anoint, anoint, anoint. Greater measure, a greater portion.
So candada basso sho shandada tasolo kunono no dia sasolo shalalaya so shalalaya so la la da dia sana mayalo. It's being released, but it's only going to be received by faith. Let your faith arise. Let your faith arise. Push the doubt out. The enemy wants to tell you that it's not for you. That it's not for you, that you're not qualified. But his spirit qualifies you. So receive it by faith. Begin to see it. Use the power of your imagination to see the oil of anointing coming down. And it's coming upon you. It's coming on your head. And it's dripping down your face. And it's coming into your heart. It's coming into the depths of your soul. It's always been yours. And God wasn't going to give it to anybody else. But you have to receive it by faith. So tell the Lord, I take this anointing. I take this for the world, because they have to know what we know. We have to give them what we've been given. So, Lord, I pray right now that the heavens will open above us. And I release the anointing of God that is for every person in this room, not just for the people in the front. The anointing is for every single one of us. So, Father, let us receive your gift today. Let us take it by faith. Lord, let us walk out of here differently, because we received the anointing of the Lord to go and do what we are called to do. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us this gift. Thank you, Jesus.
We're just going to create space for the Holy Spirit. It's what we've been doing lately. But I have a sense that there's some that I just see the gift of tongues for some. And if I don't know if it's almost maybe some of you have wanted this, but you've had like a mixed bag of relationship, or you've been seeking this. But I don't know. Justin, are you still here? Maybe. Justin and Tisha, could maybe you guys come up here, or Scott and Megan, or somebody? But if you want to receive the gift of tongues, I just feel like there's something of an invitation to receive it tonight. It's the only gift that says it edifies ourselves, and it's given for the sake it strengthens all the other giftings, and the Bible instructs us to ask. And so I just have a sense that there's, for some reason, a drawing, and I have a sense that there's some people that. For you're almost surprised that you have a drawing to it right now because you've almost had a drawing away from it. And I just feel like there's something of the Lord releasing the gift of tongues. There's people up here that would love to pray for you. We're not going to create pressured environments, just an opportunity to respond in faith. And if you need the gift of tongues or you want the gift of tongues, I'm just going to invite you to come and receive it and receive prayer. Up here, there's people standing. And we just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Yeah, there's joy. There's joy. And we're just kind of let free-flowing ministry go. But before I close it from here, I just want to exhort River House. It is a time for wine and a time for harvest. It is a time to drink, and we should come to the house of the Lord expecting to drink deep. So I exhort you, drink deeply of the Spirit of grace, and then go and pour yourself out as an offering of love, a laborer in the vineyard of the Lord. It is a time for wine and a time for harvest, and I bless this house, and I exhort you to go as a company of drinking laborers. If the Lord is drawing you and you feel like there is something more of the Spirit of God that he's wanting to do in you tonight, I want you to just come. We're going to lay hands. We're going to bless. God is moving, but the move of God is not just out here up front. It's out there. And so whether you come for more or you're ready to be sent out, go and be and follow the Spirit of God and prove yourself a son or a daughter of the Most High. Bless you, and we'll see you next week.